morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is my beloved co-host,
Mike Cosentino. We're going to have a guest this morning, James Ledbetter of Ledbetter Law, who chastises me every time I mispronounce my own name. But we do want to mention also, it's Cosentino. If you're from Cosenza in southern Italy, you're a Cosentino, a town called Cosenza. We also want to mention that today is Veterans Day.
Yes.
The observed veteran, yesterday was Veterans Day. Today is the observed Veterans Day. So don't try to go to the bank. Or if you do go to the bank, just expect to look at it and say hello.
In Europe, it's still called Armistice Day. This is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. And in most of the world, it's called Armistice Day. It wasn't the United States until it was changed, I don't know, in the 50s or something like that.
Well, I don't know. I believe it's in the spirit of American efficiency. We combine those days, you know, and some people, veterans, have been not happy about it. They say, you know, veterans deserve their own day. And Armistice Day is big enough and important enough because World War I was such a terrible, horrible, bloody mess.
There was such a relief when that war was over, all those millions of men killed in the war.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So we can talk about, we'll make a case for having a separate Veterans Day.
We have with us a guest today. We want to talk about the election results. Not all of them are still in, and we'll talk about that. In Arizona, we have some races that are still close that we should talk about. We're going to talk about with Kathy Rutherford about Kathy is the super local organizer for the Democratic Party and for Democrats and progressives in general, and a leader. And she did an amazing amount of organizational work. You got more volunteers, Kathy, than we've ever seen in Sedona area.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm just a little tired today. We had a party yesterday, over 100 people. We invited over 100 people to this party. It was a giant thank you for all the work that was done. And I have to say, you know, I really want to do a shout out to Kathy Consilla. She was my strategic partner. And of course, Democrats of the Red Rocks, without them, we couldn't have made this effort. And so, and
one of the things
amazing
that made a difference, did it, Kathy, was having an office this year?
Oh, it was critical. We could start early. And you wouldn't believe people came in to that office as far away as Nigeria. We had volunteers from Nigeria walking our streets. And Utah and California, and just having that office there has been so critical. So,
and you need to raise money to keep the office.
Yeah, that's the thing. We want to keep it. You know, we think it's a really critically important part of making sure that we have a strong movement here, a strong strategy to move forward, and the office is really important. And we're all by donation. So, you know, the Democratic Party doesn't give us anything for the office or any of our other operations. And, yeah, we kind of need donations.
It's all Sedona and Verde Valley-based donation. How many volunteers did you have?
You know, it was over 100. I would say probably close to 150 by the time you included everyone.
And you organized into Sedona until people in Sedona were ripping their hair out at the arrival of yet another thing. But you also organized over, which never been done before, over in the Payson area,
conservative area. Yeah, we went to Payson and had a great canvas over there. You know, the thing that's kind of crazy, I think, about Arizona is how large the districts are. The legislative District 6 is so huge, and it covers so much territory, and really try to make sure that all the voters that are going to vote Democratic in that area actually know about the candidates. It's a huge undertaking.
Well, I want to mention that you had organizations in Payson. You had the Rim Country Democrats. You had a organization of sorts in Cottonwood, call ourselves the Yavapai Cottonwood Democrats. And so at least you had bases to call on. But all the organizational power came out of Sedona, and that was important, or at least a lot of it, for the election.
It has since I've been in Arizona, and I came here in 2003 and was involved in the 2004. Energy has a lot come from Sedona. You had a really strong Democratic club down in Cottonwood when I arrived.
I would love to see an office in Cottonwood. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I would love to see
club,
I would
but love office to see is good too.
Democrats of the Red Rocks help with an office in Cottonwood. Money we could raise, money they could raise. And I don't know, you know, what kind of numbers we're dealing with in Payson, but I do know what kind of numbers we're dealing with in Cottonwood. And certainly the enthusiasm is there, the support is there for an office. The money is just not there. However, what we make up in money, we make up in lower rents. I mean, you can get a place cheaper over there. So that's something, you know, if somebody wanted to, and I would, manning an office would not be, as Kathy said, having an office is critical, having the presence. If for a political movement, I don't care what it is, whether it's indivisible, whether it's Democrats, having a presence, a physical presence, having made that investment, you're hearing that, Arizona Democratic Party, Democratic National Committee, having a physical presence in every town that matters, assuming Kyrsten Sinema mattered, is an important, important thing.
We should talk about that, Lace. But first, Kathy, let's talk about the local Sedona races. And, Mike, up here in Sedona, it was a clean sweep for Democrats and progressives. We won everything that we wanted to
why?
Win.
Why? I want to know why. That's great. I want to say, I'm going to tell you why, and then you can tell me why. But you guys won a clean slate, and it was important because you had, if I can speak as an outsider, you had the right wing, you had the Tea Party, we're calling them, coming down into fire board races, into school board races. For whatever reason, they drank the Kool-Aid, and that was part of the advice, was to go down into the local races and make their financial world miserable. But the question is, organization.
Part of it is Kathy's organization. The other part of it, Mike, from my perspective, is we exposed who they were. They won their earlier contest. They helped defeat a candidate for city council back a couple of years ago. They managed to defeat the national scenic area or the national monument without much serious discussion. So they had a whole series of victories. They shut down the discussion. They were discussing whether maybe it would be more efficient to have one garbage truck roaming around the neighborhood, one company, rather than three companies. And they shut that down. So they had a series of victories, even in Sedona. And I think, Kathy, they really overreached because they really came out on the bottom of everything.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, the other thing I think about everything locally all the way to nationally is like people are awake now. They're paying attention. You know, they're listening to radio shows like this. They're coming to the door breakfast. They're going to Mike's meetings over in Cottonwood with the Cottonwood Democrats or the Yavapai Democrats in Cottonwood. And so they're paying attention and they now know who those people are and they know what Arizona Liberty stands for. And they're like, That's not.
So we exposed them as the Tea Party. I think we very successfully did that. We should shout out to Steve Segner, whose campaign to expose who they were was leading to it. But we have wonderful candidates for the fire board. We interviewed him here, Eugene McCarthy and Al Camello. Yeah. The PBA lost, which was this silly thing to limit spending by $10 million in Sedona for no particular reason.
Yeah, no special reason.
And
the school
override.
The school override.
That was
yeah.
a big deal.
So
yeah.
it was really good here in Sedona.
We do want to mention here on Democratic Perspective that we have guests this morning. We're doing a sort of a post-op. Or at least a post-mortem on the election of November 6th. We have our wisest supporters of Democratic Perspective in the body of Kathy Rutherford here as an indivisible organizer and does several
other things. Certainly the best organizer we've
certainly
ever had.
Certainly does several other things
who's
for
this,
the party.
Who's this other guy sitting
and
there?
And this other guy
Mike.
That's been a long, long time supporter of the show, and that's James Ledbetter. James E. Ledbetter of Ledbetter Law. I mean, we can go ahead and say that because the boss can't get mad at us because he's here. Anyway, so he's been certainly a political knowledgeable guy. I want to say wonk. That has a negative term, a negative connotation. But we're talking about a political guy. He has known and loved many Democrats in Arizona, and he's known and not loved so much many Democrats in Arizona. But here he is. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me.
What did you think of the election, Jim? What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's all
statewide
on you.
And nationally? What do you think?
Starting nationally, it was a blue wave. You know, was it a tsunami that we wanted? No. But was it a blue wave? Absolutely. The House flipped by 30 seats. When the House flipped under Barack Obama's midterm by 30 seats, absolutely the Republicans called it a blue wave. It's the same numbers. It was a blue wave. And we're seeing great input in the Senate, aside from the Kavanaugh factor.
Yeah.
Everybody who was a Democrat in a conservative state, take Missouri, Illinois, and others, lost their seats largely because of the Kavanaugh debacle. But that said, we're seeing more and more seats come closer and closer. We're seeing that in Kyrsten Sinema's race. So the numbers aren't going to be as broad as was originally thought in the Senate. Without question, the Democrats are controlling the House, which is huge and important. It was a blue wave. Was it a tsunami? No, it was a wave. And that said, now we're in for a fight. For the next 2 years, buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride.
There's nothing else to do but have a wild ride the next 2 years because of who is president, right, Jim?
Absolutely. And, you know, all of us around the table and I've often debated, I was raised to respect the office of the presidency, but I got to tell you, I don't respect the president. Right now, you know, across the nation, we're talking about immigration. We're worried about a caravan that's coming that's a virtual threat that's non-existent. It's hundreds of miles away. And is it a threat in the first instance? Probably not. But as we speak right now, hospitals in California are being evacuated. People are losing their lives in California. Homes are burning to the ground. Do we have a president mobilizing forces to California? No, we have him mobilizing 15,000 troops to the Arizona border, to the Texas border. Where should those troops be going? Every piece of equipment, every firefighting unit out of every military department should be on a plane right now to California. Americans are hurting.
Where more than 30 people have already died in the worst fires in California history.
As I pulled in this morning, 238 are missing.
Wow.
It's incredible. Our priorities are off as a nation. And so let's hope that the change in the House, it's going to be awful. There's going to be subpoenas. There's going to be fights. It's going to create gridlock. But you know what? It's time to drain the swamp that was created by this administration. Because I would challenge the fact that the swamp was virtually non-existent before. It's absolutely there now. So what we heard before, drain the swamp, it's time. Let's drain the swamp.
You're a lawyer. Maybe you have a lawyer's perspective on the acting attorney general appointed by Donald Trump, who seems to be about as dubious a person as you can. He seems like a guy who should be in jail rather than being the attorney general.
He should be at Cottonwood Village with a blanket on his lap, you know, trying to stay awake.
Well, let's trust the process. Right now, we should have the Justice Department weighing in on an ethics issue, saying that he also has a conflict of interest because he's prejudged the issue with respect to the investigation before he was in this position. There is an ethics department in the Justice Department. I anticipate that they will weigh in correctly and favorably. I don't think it's going to be, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to be as big a problem as anticipated. I believe that he will have and does have a conflict of interest. I believe at the end of the day, his oath to be a lawyer, his oath to protect the Constitution, hopefully will weigh over. And the fact is, he should step back and let the process continue.
We want to talk about Adam Schiff as new chairman of the Intelligence Committee. We want to talk about the subpoena cannon, they're calling it in the media, the 85 subpoenas that are coming the Republicans' way. Not only are the Democrats preparing them, the Republicans are preparing to fight them. They know what's coming. It's a wonderful article, once again, in Axios and Atlantic, talking about the 85 potential Trump-related investigations and subpoena targets for the new majority in the House. Incoming House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff told HBO on HBO that he expects Trump to resist the committee's requests, demands, and subpoenas likely pushing fights over into the Supreme Court.
So you agree with Jim, maybe you all agree with Jim, that this is going to be a wild ride. There's no way to do this in peace and love, and being nice to Trump is not going to have any effect whatsoever. There has to be conflict before we can have peace in the country.
It matters because it will test the power of the presidency every time a case goes to the Supreme Court. Every time. So this morning we got Jim Ledbetter here, the legal mind of the Verde Valley. We have Kathy Rutherford here, wonderful, wonderful political activist in Sedona, with her niece, Leah Hammond. I have to mention Leah came over to Cottonwood so many times that we thought of you two as I don't want to say one and the same, but certainly as a team.
So Kirsten Sinema is now, I think what Jim was alluding and Mike was alluding to earlier was that the early results didn't show as strong a blue wave as the more and more the information is coming in, the more and more clearly it was a blue wave. And even the districts where the Democrat didn't win, if you look at, there's a very interesting New York Times graphic. There's a big, strong shift toward Democrats in those districts. I will say, looking at Arizona. Well, first, let's talk about Kirsten Sinema is now up in the polls.
Well, that's it.
She's 32,000 as of Sunday night, about 10 p.m.
Kirsten Sinema wins.
I think so too.
Kathy, you agree?
Oh, totally.
The press doesn't want to say it, but she's won this thing. The rest of the districts to be counted are districts that she's winning in, and it's over.
So wait a minute now. If it's Kirsten Sinema,
yes,
then we have a woman senator from Arizona, the first ever, and it's a Democrat. Am I right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal? Am I the only one that thinks? Okay.
Big deal. And you know, there's a lot of noise going around about the notion that there's some sort of fraud in this ballot process. Let's be clear what's going on. In Arizona, about 70% of voters vote by mail. So those voting by mail, their signatures must be compared on the outside of the envelope to what's on the inside of the envelope. And it requires people to open them and look at them before the vote is counted. So consequently, all this noise that there's voter suppression and voter fraud, largely coming from the Republican Party, let's do a shout out to Senator Flake. He's called that reckless and false. Because the truth is, it's reckless and it's false. It undermines the democratic process. These ballots in Arizona, we have an arcane system set up by a Republican Arizona legislature that requires people to eyeball every mail-in ballot, which, depending on your county, is 70 to 75% of the ballots. So therefore, in Maricopa County, it takes a long time. Should we double their staff? Probably. But the dilemma is this. Looking at ballots, opening envelopes, reading signatures, comparing them takes a long time.
Adrian Fontes and his staff worked all weekend. Adrian Fontes is a Maricopa County recorder. He is being investigated. Every worker he ever had is being investigated by Republicans because they're hoping to find a traffic ticket somewhere or some reason to somehow add fuel to their false claim of fraud.
And other things that have shifted, folks, if you haven't, I mean, here, what is today, the 13th?
The 12th.
12th. And the election was the 6th, so it's 6 days later, and they're still counting. And we have some good results. Hoffman is now ahead for superintendent of schools. Yeah. Kathy Hoffman, right?
She's way ahead.
She's got it. And Katie Hobbs, who we've interviewed here and talked with and think is an absolutely spectacular candidate, one of our best candidates, she's neck and neck, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's going back and forth and back and forth.
And you know, Steve, why that's an important, important election? I anticipate, and here's another prediction I'll throw out there. This governor, Governor Ducey, is going to try to take the last 2 years of McCain's term. So whoever is our Secretary of State is most likely going to be the governor of the state of Arizona.
I don't think Ducey's going to stay it out for 4 years, do you?
I don't.
He's being recruited by national Republicans.
Of course.
He's a comer for them.
And the Republican Party, that makes sense. I'm not faulting him for that decision, but that's why this race for the Secretary of State in Arizona is so absolutely critical, because it's likely our governor.
Interesting.
Let me remind you what subpoenas mean. It means we're talking about a look at the Space Force. Okay, remember the Space Force? We're talking about an investigation, a closer look at the space. We're talking about a look at Puerto Rico and the horrible non-work that they did down there. We're talking about White House security clearances and the denial of such. We're talking about cutting off the journalists. We're talking about all of these things, all of these, everything that made you just a little bit sicker, just made you feel a little bit more tired, just made you a little bit crazier through every time you got up in the morning and you found what crazy thing Trump had tweeted. That's what we're talking about investigating.
All right. Before the show, I mentioned my opinion, which had gotten a lot of disagreement. Is I think this election, and let's start with Jim and then Kathy. I think this election, that in a way, I think Trump's done unless he can pull out some sort of spectacular, thoroughly dishonest trick. I think he's done. When you look at the results of this election, when you see what Mike is talking about, the subpoenas, once all this stuff gets aired in public, I don't know how the guy survives.
Oh, I respectfully disagree with you. He now has a Congress to run against. He gets to run against the House. He gets to lay fault at the House. He gets to lay his own gridlock at the feet of the Democrats of the House. This will elevate his opportunities in 2020 if he chooses to run again, because he has a foil now. And this presidency operates well against an adverse foil, whether it's fictional or whether it's real. And now there's going to be a real foil, a real challenge to his authority. And so he's going to motivate his base, and it's going to be really, really rough, because I believe it's actually enhanced his opportunities to be reelected president of the United States.
Kathy, what do you think?
Yeah. What I'm thinking is that we all need to take a deep breath. We've worked really hard, and then we need to get back to work. We cannot assume anything is a given. You know, going forward to 2020, we have to make sure that we're ready to act on a moment's notice about what he's going to do. Because you push against our president, and he pushes back in ways that no one would ever think would happen, because he doesn't have a moral compass, is what I would say. He doesn't have any barriers from keeping him to do that. And his people follow him.
Yeah.
That's
they've,
the scary
they've
thing.
They followed him down the rabbit hole, haven't they,
uh-huh.
Kathy?
And
the
in their actions.
He's gotten, they followed him. When I look at the election results in Arizona, and I see a whack job, Gosar winning by 100,000 votes, that's the Republican sticking with him, no matter how crazy he is. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to forget Mike, what do you think about the prospects?
It makes me go back to bed and put the blankets over my head and just not move until 11 o'clock. I can't answer that, Steve. I don't know how Gosar is even able to walk across the room without falling down or being laughed at.
He won by 100,000 votes. Guy who is just clinically out of there.
Yeah.
It's a gerrymandered district. That district was created to overwhelmingly favor Republicans, which is why Phil Gosar left Flagstaff, where he was a resident, so that he didn't have to run again and lose in District 1. He switches over to District 4, gerrymandered for a Republican. It is overwhelmingly Republican in that district. It is more than 100,000. He lost a lot of the independents, and he lost a lot of Republican votes. He should have had a higher number based upon the gerrymandering of that district. It is designed to be a safe Republican spot forever. And, you know, to your earlier point, Steve, you raised something in my mind. Shout out to Downtown Dave. He made the observation the other day, and I told him I'll put it on bumper stickers for him. He made the observation to say, it's easier to be misled than to admit you were misled. And that's what's happening with the Trump base. They are doubling down. They're drilling down. They're okay with false things coming out of the White House. Most recently, a doctored tape of Jim Acosta, the CNN anchor, allegedly touching an intern. That was doctored. It's false. Cameras, other people were in the room. It was broadcast live on national television. But this White House will retweet, and republish a doctored video from a conspiracy theory website to advance their agenda that it's okay to call the press the enemy of the people, not upholding the Constitution of the United States, incidentally. It's okay to do that. It's okay to put false information out to advance your agenda. Again, it is easier to be misled than it is to admit that we've all been misled. And it's time for us who are thinking people, whether we're independents, Republicans, or Democrats, to stand up and say, we're being misled, and this is not okay.
When I looked at the state districts, and I'm looking at the representatives to state districts, all the districts either have two blue or two red representatives except one. There's one district in the state that has one Republican and one Democrat. Otherwise, in these districts, Jim, there's no crossover. There's no districts where, Kyrsten Sinema has a crossover vote of hundreds of thousands, I think, from Ducey. But otherwise, you don't see much crossover yet. It's just still everybody in their tent.
That's not surprising. I went to the redistricting committee hearings, the independent redistricting committee hearings that they had all over the state, and there was six or seven safe Republican districts. They had districted them, gerrymandered them, so that they would have six or seven safe Republican. There was three or four safe Democratic districts. That was part of the whole redistricting plan. And then they went to urban versus rural, and then they went to all the other criteria. There were six criteria on how the two Republicans, the two Democrats, and the independent chair decided to redistrict in 2010. And we are living with that district. No matter how many times the Republicans have tried to sue the Andy Biggs and the gentleman from Paulden, how many times four times they tried to sue for a gerrymandering situation that favored them. You just heard the numbers I used.
Yeah.
They still tried to sue because they wanted even a bigger Republican favor in gerrymandering like they had in Texas and
Democrats
Wisconsin
picked
and
up
other
a congressional
place.
Seat. Ann Kirkpatrick, who was our representative for quite a long time, on and off, won down in the Tucson area, Gabby Gifford's old district. And so we now have five Democrats congressional people and four Republicans in Arizona.
Once again, to stop and say, here it is a week after the election, and you got Kyrsten Sinema, a virtual shoo-in at this point. You got Katie Hobbs needs 260 votes to be as
263 votes last I heard. Yeah.
Let's be specific, because we can. To be Secretary of State, and as we talked about, probably governor in an X amount of time. We're talking about Catherine Hoffman as statewide office Democrat superintendent. We're talking about Sandra Kennedy is up 5,600 votes in her bid to be corporation commissioner.
I forgot to mention, Mike.
All Democrats, all of them. Tuesday night it was one story. Monday morning it's another.
It really has changed at least a little bit. Disappointment is that we didn't do well. We did well, but we didn't win, Kathy. And we had a wonderful candidate, for example, in Felicia French and in Bobby Tyler. And Felicia lost to Bob Thorpe, good old Bob Thorpe, who spiked and tried to sabotage Sedona's election. She still lost by 1,380 votes. That'll probably drop. It'll probably be less than that. But that we just didn't win that one.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a couple of counties that are very Republican, Gila and Navajo. And, you know, I'm really interested to see our statistics for Sedona, to see how people voted. We'll get that, you know, in another couple of weeks. We don't have that right now. I think we did really well for those candidates, as well as Flagstaff. But we couldn't pull enough votes to overcome those Republicans in those two counties.
And Sylvia Allen, the bete noire of Democrats, who... The woman claims she's for education, but it's truly amazing. I can't believe Representative Allen. She won by 2,566 votes right now over Wade Carlisle. So we just didn't, we didn't win those cases. We've all, we've been trying, Kathy, all your work, we can't quite win that district.
Yeah, that's why we really have to analyze what we did and see what we need to do differently, because Sedona is a strong Democratic city, so that's great. We got to get those votes out, including the independents. But what do we need to be doing in those other counties? How can we pull people out to vote? Or do we need to look at who else we can register to vote to get those votes up? Because it's not that broad a margin that they lost by. It's not. And the thing about education, the thing I was really, really happy to see is that Proposition 305, the no's won. That means that we will now not have an expanded voucher system in our state, which is, I was afraid of what would happen if that had not, if the yeses had won. You know, it could have bankrupt our poor, poorly funded as it is, education system in Arizona. So people care about education. We just have to somehow, you know, those people that just vote the R's all the way down, talk to them and figure out if we can find a way to have them see how the Republican legislature in the state of Arizona has bankrupt education.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, we were talking earlier with, I think everybody should join us, there's a lot of shift toward Democratic voters that you don't see. So like Beto O'Rourke almost beat Ted Cruz in Texas. But the entire judiciary in the county around Houston, which is the largest county in Texas, switched from Republican to Democrat. They vote for judges way down the scale, even more than we do. Also in Texas, apparently you can check a box. And I remember this from my youth in Oklahoma or something, that you can check a box that's just Democrats all the way down or Republicans all the way down. I don't know what to make of that. Anybody have a?
Well, it's from the old days when they had the levers, I guess, and then you could, the parties were stronger in those urban places where they could, force elections departments to have that option. For whatever reason, in Arizona, the parties, both Democrat and Republican, are kind of part and parcel of the electoral process. In other words, both the Arizona Democratic Party and the Republican Democratic Party of Arizona count on parties to do a certain amount of work when it comes to holding an election. I mean, we're sort of written into the code, as it were.
Let's talk a minute about the gerrymandering. And these statistics are not final, folks, but Democratic candidates for the House overall won 4.2 million more votes than the Republicans did, right? And that was in another election. The tallies show that that Democrats are actually getting the majority of votes. For example, in the Senate, they'll get 10 million more votes than Republicans, yet we end up with a Republican Senate.
Yeah, I saw a meme going around the internet. How can you explain this to a European, how the Democrats in this last election got 10 million more votes just for Senate and don't have a majority in the Senate? How do you explain that, Jim?
How can you explain it to your children?
Good question.
How can you explain it to students? Recently, I shared with Mike Cosentino that at Mingus High School, I had the opportunity to speak to a group of seniors, five different periods. I asked by a show of hands whom they believed had integrity in political office today. I said, give me a name, any name, name one. Not a hand goes up. Then I started quizzing them if they really knew who the candidates in office were, and they did. No one was willing to say in the upcoming generation, at least at Mingus High School, is that scientific? No. Does it reflect young people's opinions about the mess that we've made as voting adults? Yes. Our generation has failed them. These processes were, we should be now challenging. Public vote should matter. The total populist vote should matter. That should determine elections. It is time to get rid of the Electoral College. It is time that the fact that if you vote for a person, your vote is equal to everybody else's vote across the United States. Whether it's rural, whether it's urban, it doesn't matter. Whether you live on the coast or you live in the heartland, your vote should be the same. It is time that we re-engineer our processes in the United States and make sure that whoever gets the popular vote, that is the person seated in the White House. That's the person in the Senate. That's the person in the House. It should be just like who our mayor is. It should be just like who our dog catcher is. It should be just like who our justice of the peace is. Whoever wins, wins.
I think millennials will lead that fight, and I also think they'll be successful. The comment I heard over and over, especially from millennials, was that you guys got to go. Nancy Pelosi's got to go. My favorite, Joe Biden's got to go. We need new leadership, not because they're bad or because they've done anything terrible, just because the history is weighing them down.
I think that's true. Go back to Jim's point. I had a very small sample arguing on Facebook with young people, and they think it was, you know, it was a curse on both your houses kind of thing. Everybody in politics is a crook. And I wrote on Facebook, because these were all friends, and I said, you know, I've interviewed all the Democratic candidates probably running for office. And I didn't say they're better than you are, but I said they're really decent people. I mean, the truth is, I don't know what I imagined Democrats were like in New York, where you know, where it was a bit, but here, I mean, I've interviewed them. I mean, there's a few of them that are, you know, kind of opportunistic, but the rest, but their politics is good, and the rest of them are really kind-hearted, decent people. Wade Carlisle is a moral person running for office. He's a moral purpose on a basis that a lot of Democrats are not, being coming, his morality coming from his Baptist religion. But he's a moral person. Bobby Tyler, these people who are running, Felicia French, they were all good people, folks, as well as good candidates.
31% of Republicans believe that Democrats are racist and evil. 61% of Democrats believe Republicans are racist and evil. It matters, because how are you going to find common ground? It used to not matter. But one of the reasons people weren't so involved in politics, one of the reasons politics wasn't as toxic as it is in 2018, is because both sides have the country's best interest at heart. There's no doubt that one side, and one side only, in this particular climate and this particular time, has turned into a criminal organization that has their friends' best interests at heart, their corporate masters' best interests at heart, certainly not the people of Arizona or the people of the United States. They do not have, otherwise we would have national health care.
I voted for two Republicans. They were both running for nonpartisan office. I voted for two Republicans this year because their positions on issues like the Fire Board and
take
the Yavapai
card away,
College
take card away.
were really good. So I mean, I'm willing to cross lines, particularly when you know, if your focus is good on a particular, for the job that you're running for, I really will vote for Republicans rather than a Democrat.
You know, and what we're talking about, Tom O'Halloran is a perfect example. Tom is a longtime acquaintance, a longtime friend, so I'll give that as a caveat. I think the world of he and Pat, we spend a lot of time together. I see signs around the state of Arizona saying that Tom O'Halloran, a retired Chicago cop, a moderate, someone right in the middle, is going to take your guns away. I got to tell you, that's never crossed Tom O'Halloran's mind. And it's this demonization that happens, and people get passionate about it, that Tom O'Halloran is going to take your guns away. Just like Barack Obama was going to take his guns away, your guns away. Barack Obama got failing scores in terms of those organizations who favored gun control. They gave Barack Obama consistently an F in terms of what he had done. So the truth is so important, but it's lost completely in the noise. And it was just astonishing to me to see everywhere across this district, and even outside of this district, Tom O'Halloran will take your guns away, support Wendy Rogers. That was nonsense.
I was surprised by the vote, because Tom is a reasonable, he's one of the most conservative Democrats that could have been in the House of Representatives. And he's a moderate in every way.
But
he only won by about 54% of the vote. And Wendy Rogers, who is privately, Republicans were sort of appalled at because she's not in favor of Social Security. She thinks Social Security is unconstitutional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She got 40-some-odd percent of the votes, Jim. Why is, when you have a moderate Democrat who every, you know, who should be, should rub Republicans down the line, if you're a moderate Republican, all you should vote for him. And he didn't get their vote. They voted for this nutcase.
Well, excuse me. Again, you always give adjectives that I have to pause on, like saying nice things about me always gives me pause. But backing up a bit in terms of talking about Wendy Rogers and her campaign, folks have figured out that this demonization works. Okay, people in Tennessee were rating immigration as the number one issue. They're in Tennessee, for goodness sakes. They're worried about the caravan. That gets press and that gets people motivated to vote in Tennessee. And frankly, they have more immigrants from Canada in Tennessee than they do from the southern and Latin countries. And so it's just fascinating to me how this demonization works and it motivates people, because we are now of a social media age. The truth doesn't matter. It's what's been tweeted and retweeted. It's snippets that we see on Facebook. That's what matters. And, you know, Russian interference has been exposed, as Facebook sites that friends of mine have reposted and resent to one another that have now been revealed to be from Russians and not legitimate, it's real hard for those friends to say, whoops, again, I was misled, because it's just fascinating. This demonization in politics is hurting the system. It is what our president is doing right now, because this caravan issue, how fast can these people walk? They're hundreds of miles away. I'm not too worried about how quickly they're going to get here, and they're going to get to follow the normal process and the normal law.
I have to admit, on the other side, and I blame the media for this as much as anything up, and they can't help themselves. Trump does this. He does these tweets, and it gets reported widely. But on the other side, my news feed tells me about the seven scientists we elect, the seven women scientists, seven scientists we've elected. It tells me about all the women that we have elected to Congress. So at the same time, I've already seen that in the week it's been since the election. I'm seeing this over and over and over and over, just like we see the other things over and over. So, and they're talking about the impact of these scientists. Because this is the biggest thing, guys. I'm sorry, you know, at 2018 in mid-November, climate change is the biggest thing. It's already too late. It's already going to cost. We're talking seawalls. We're talking Miami half underwater.
We're talking California on fire.
We're talking Manhattan. We're talking Manhattan.
Arizona's in danger from this stuff. The climate change is going to reach us. The drying out of our forest around us here, it is truly scary. We got 2 minutes, Mike? Is that
2 minutes.
All right. Want to wrap it up? Oh, I should put in a plug for Democratic Perspective. If we can get four more people to contribute $50 a month, a recurring thing, the program will be self-supporting. We won't have to do fundraisers and stuff. We need four more people. So if you can contribute, it really helps if it's $25 a month or $10 a month or $50 a month, we can make up the deficit in our...
Yeah, unlike Act Blue, we don't have a little box in the corner that happens automatically. Some people are really angry at contributing.
We do have a box, and you
have to actively mark
You have to mark the box, and then it says recurring. You park recurring, and it does it, and it
there
takes a chunk out of your $50.
There you go.
But that would be great if you guys could support us, Mike.
You want to remind about the Democrats of the Red Rocks have their breakfast on November 15th. Please, please, please come. It's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be about all kinds of. There's going to be a.
Really going to be
exciting.
It's going
to be really good. And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast. We have 7 years of podcasts, ladies and gentlemen. They have led us in this office, in this studio for 7 years now. VVID.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. You can go to that website. You can go to TuneIn website. They have archived many, many, many of our shows. Don't forget, this streams every Monday at 8:15. Democrat Perspective streams online.
You've been and listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.